Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com.
Our guest today is Dr. Kim Nugent. She's an innovation leadership expert, Marshall Goldsmith certified executive coach, and a global best-selling author of 6 books. Kim has 30 years of management and leadership experience, which has helped organizations and businesses strengthen their workforce opportunities. She's a sought-after promotion protocol and paving your path expert for both younger and experienced professionals. Dr. Nugent is the recipient of the International Association of Top Professionals Top Innovation Leadership Coach Award, as well as the recipient of the Empowered Women's Award. Kim is a former university president and also worked at Hilton, a Fortune 500 company. Dr. Nugent has a doctorate degree in education and 3 master's degrees. Her latest book is called Paving Your Path, What's Next for High School Graduates. Kim, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much.
So there's so many things you've done in your life, but let's just first start from the origin. I always love hearing what inspired you to even get into education, given that you have all this illustrious background in your career.
So when I was an undergrad in hospitality or hotel and restaurant management, specifically at the University of Houston, one of my professors in my undergraduate degree made such a profound difference in my life. And when he was talking, not only was he a subject matter expert, but he made learning fun and he made it look effortless as an instructor. And I found the whole thing fascinating. Like I had never even considered it, to tell you the truth. I was very happy. I knew the career path I was going to take, but I kind of tucked that away. His name is Dr. Raymond Goodman, and I consider him still a mentor as well many years later. But I tucked that experience away thinking one day when I became a subject matter expert, specifically in hospitality, I wanted to be able to give back and to teach others. And so sort of the rest is history. Although it was a long pathway for myself, it was probably 20 years later before I felt like I had mastered the area of hotel and restaurant management to be able to teach young people about a career path that I love.
And Kim, you're being so modest because you were literally a university president. So how did you find that opportunity?
Well, once again, teaching, truthfully, it became that pathway. And one of the things that I wanted to do is I knew that I needed to obviously earn additional degrees in order to be able to teach. That's the first thing. But the other thing that happened, I think, specifically was that when I kind of landed my first job as an instructor, that led, just like in the hospitality or career pathing, anytime that you're in a specific industry, when you start at the entry level, what happens is if you want to stay in that career, that industry, hopefully that your path will look that way. And so for me, I was an instructor, like every other instructor out there. I started part-time, and then when you earn the full-time opportunity and it's given to you, you take it. And then I went into administration rather quickly, actually, because I had already been in management on the hotel side. And so those skills were 100% transferable. And so from there became a dean. And then I went to corporate and work over operations for a number of our schools, and then came back, was the university president, and then ultimately became the vice president of faculty development for many thousands of faculty members to help. Faculty members, they are also subject matter experts, and I completely respect that. I honor that. And some of them have not been taught how to engage students in the classroom. They were taught a certain way, and they carry that model into the classroom. But our students today, that's not what they want. They want something very different. And so really helping faculty members navigate the different ages and generations in the classroom today to be able to reach their audience in ways and to give that faculty member even more confidence than they ever had before and bring the love of learning and teaching back to them. That is my joy and passion.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so you have both the education experience of having 3 master's degrees and a doctorate in education. Then you have the corporate experience, and yes, you wrote this book, which one of the things I loved about your book, it's so specific where, first of all, you're talking about Simon Sinek and the word mentoring, where he talked about how a mentor isn't so much a guy or gal that walks in front of you where you follow his or her lead. It's more about a person that is beside you. And I love that concept where the thing about your book that's unlike a lot of other books is that sometimes the books you read are just filled with platitudes, very general things, or it's like, hey, you got to go to college because. In your case, I love the fact that you have multiple chapters on, well, maybe college for your university isn't for your track. Maybe it's vocational, maybe it's military, maybe it's entrepreneurship, or maybe it's even community college. So talk to us and dive into, first of all, why you chose to write this book at this time called Paving Your Path for High School Students and specifically more graduates.
Yes. So specifically, you know, one of the things that I want to always do as an educator is to give back. And I do a lot of work in high schools, pro bono work, to be able to, you know, stay in touch, quite frankly, with what our future is going to look like, our future workforce, and what's on their minds and what they find interesting, because I learn from them, hopefully as much as they learn from me. And one of the things that I noticed is young people today, particularly high school students, they are so incredibly bright. And they have been exposed to so much more than I was at that age. And so that's great. And I love that. And on the other hand, though, they still don't have the experience. So that's one piece of it. And I also see people stumble when they finally get to go to work. They stumble in their careers. And they stumble, it's not really so much from the education part of it or even some of the experience part of it. They have a can-do attitude. But they really are not clear about the soft skills that they need to be successful in our workplace today. So going back to the book specifically, I'm all about pro-choice. College is not for everyone. And I think you need to be exposed to lots of opportunities to decide what's best for you. And maybe college will be one day, but it may not be the year you graduate. And so I think really having parents understand, take a breath for a moment and really listen to what your son or daughter is saying and help navigate them. But the other piece of it is it doesn't necessarily have to be mom and dad. In fact, it might be better if it wasn't mom and dad, a mentor. That could be a teacher. It could be a coach. It could be a music teacher. It could be a tutor. It could be someone that you know that has gone down that pathway yourself. So let's say, for example, military. You know, having a mentor who has a military background and that seems to be your aspiration would be an amazing opportunity because they can tell you how it really is and they can help navigate that. Or someone who is an entrepreneur, and more and more young people today are gravitating in that direction. Now they do, I believe, need a little bit of work experience. And so working alongside of that to learn some of those things or with a mentor, once again, taking on an internship or an apprenticeship to be able to learn so you don't lose all your money in the first year. But you know, young people are so resourceful. And I feel like the other thing is that sometimes as people get older, or maybe they have a mental model, there's only one choice. I don't believe that's true. And I think the other thing too is because young people are so smart that we need to really take a look at, there's so many success stories out there of young people, and that's also pressure. I think people in their teens and their 20s have more pressure today than we ever did, for sure. And so I think that people sometimes forget that. And I don't know necessarily in schools today whether or not young people are given the opportunity of as many choices as I point out. They sort of are headed in one direction, but it might not be. And I'm trying to hopefully, the goal is to save them money and time so that they don't make those poor decisions. We'll all make poor decisions at some point, but hopefully not on that. And I try to be as informative as possible. Because there's a lot of things that people don't know when they're considering one particular pathway.
No, I like that. Again, you're very targeted with the choices you make. So like there's a menu of choices, you can sink your teeth into these choices, but I also like how specific you are with mentors. So for instance, I created this homeless youth program at a shelter in Los Angeles. And one of the mentors we had there helping these kids that were homeless was a guy named Darren, former Marine guy. And he ended up mentoring some of the students there, and one of them ended up going to the Air Force. But yes, so many parents, they always think, oh my gosh, there's so much pressure on our kids to go to college these 4 years. But no, it's not just 4 years. It's beyond that, where your career is 40 years. And that's why your story, your advice, and your insights are so compelling, because you're not just this academic person. You have actual real-world experience. You put it all together in a very great book, where it says, look, find mentors, but in your career, but know that there's many choices. Now, let's dive into other things, because again, in Europe, the whole term of gap year is very common. where after you graduate high school, there's a gap year where for a year, just go off and do whatever your things you might want to do. Whereas in the US, it's not as common, but how did you come up with that awareness that not everyone should fit in this one path to college? Is it your own personal experience or just seeing that some people are just frustrated because again, not everyone is fit for going to a four-year school because maybe not, like you look at Elon Musk who dropped out of his degree in Stanford. You look at Mark Zuckerberg who dropped out of Harvard. You look at Bill Gates. So a lot of people that are very successful didn't go to school or dropped out. So why do you think that is that sometimes that people don't see these choices that you're mentioning?
Well, you're absolutely right. In the United States, the gap year is not common, although that is choice number 7 in my book, for sure. But what I saw was on the other side, so you might find this a little odd, but having been a university president more than once, I was always up front and meeting the students during orientation. It was like one of the most exciting days for me, that and graduation, those 2 days in particular. And so, you know, they come with hopes and dreams sometimes, and sometimes not. Sometimes it's mom and dad pushing. Mm-hmm. And I don't want any family to have their son or daughter start something and either academically fail or realize this is not the right choice for me. And now they're in debt. I am not committed to that outcome at all. In fact, I'm the opposite of that. So sometimes just giving your son or daughter a little bit of time to find themselves. So maybe, you know, in the world that we're living in right now, quite frankly, you know, some of our choices are limited. And so we need to get more creative about what that could look like. And one of the things though is that they may need to find a job first or do an internship or an apprenticeship or, you know, have conversations, do informational interviews with people out there in what they were thinking they were getting themselves into before they jump right in and find out that's not it. And it's important to know what you don't want to do, but not if it's going to cost you some money.
Yeah. Let's talk about these informational interviews. I used to do these 20 years ago when I actually had jobs, but I remember how powerful it was because again, I had a mentor say to me, Christopher, even if that department is not hiring at American Express, you might just want to request an information interview. And I literally didn't know what that meant. And pretty much this woman said, this mentor of mine, she said, look, just reach out and say, hey, I'm currently at this current position as an analyst. I know that there aren't any open jobs, but perhaps we can set up a 20-minute informational interview coffee thing where it's very informal. But from that, it's almost like you're a spy in a sense, where you go in there, you get to learn about them, build rapport, and in time, if there are opportunities, they can learn about that. But the informational interview advice you just said is one of the most ideal ways to be very organic and open and build rapport with these potential people that can hire you. And given that we are going through some times now, LinkedIn wasn't around when I was in college. And right. So now with people on LinkedIn, as long as you're cordial about that and ask people, so for instance, you've met so many people in life, you get very practical. If a student is graduating high school, college, they want to find a job, they want to reach out to someone like you on LinkedIn, what are some just basic things of etiquette and protocol that you might want to share with them to get a job or just build rapport with someone like yourself and your status and your experience on LinkedIn?
So, you know, obviously LinkedIn is an awesome tool. It's my very favorite business tool out there. One of the things that I think though is people sometimes get a little bit lazy because it's so easy to use. And so they just do those connections and click it. I think that's not the most appropriate way to be able to reach out to someone is to send that personal note and say, you know, I'd love to be able to connect with you, but tell me why. Tell me what you're looking for. Be specific. I have done that many times myself on LinkedIn. Just, I may not know that person, but I really want to have a conversation with them. I want to learn more about them. And that's the reason. And so people generally say yes when you take that little extra step. So I think that's really important. I think the other thing too is, you know, going out and using LinkedIn, since we were talking a minute ago about informational interviews, who are the people in your area who might be in that industry or in that job title that you're thinking about and have an opportunity to have an informational interview with them as well. I think those are really great ways to get started in kind of taking a look at what the future really looks like.
Yeah. And I love how bold you are, Kim. Do you feel that's like a innate quality you had or over time through various opportunities you've had at work or in your family? How do you become more bold? If people are watching this interview, want to be more bold?
Wow, that's a good question. Being bold.
Because you're like, you know, create information interviews, have these various sorts of, because essentially the common way is to go to college, get a job, get married, have kids, and all that is fine, right? But you have a very bold insight and you're a pioneering woman. That's why I want other people to have that kind of courage that you have. And some people think it's boring, but I'm curious what you think and how you have that, because you have it in spades.
Well, I think a couple of things. One, I think I've been very lucky my entire life. And I actually at 16 had a mentor, but it didn't start out that way. It was kind of an accidental mentor, if you will. And so the boldness probably started right then and there. I was in a program in high school and we worked half a day and went to school half a day. And I really didn't want to work in retail, to be honest with you. I knew I did. That was not me. I knew I wanted to be in hospitality. So I talked to my teacher and I said, I don't want to go into retail. And at that time, that's all there was for girls. And so she listened and she said, I don't know, let me see. So there was a store, it's now called Macy's. It was called Foley's in Houston at the time. And she said, let me see if I can get you an interview with a restaurant manager. But it was not for that. It was for a different, we were actually competing across the state on job interviews. And so she said, just go and practice with her. That's all I know about the hospitality industry. Just go practice with her. So I did. And at the end of the interview, so I was ready to go to state to go compete. And she offered me a job, which was amazing at 16. And the other thing is, within a relatively short period of time, I was promoted. I was the assistant manager of the restaurant, the pastry, the deli, and the snack bar. And she became my mentor for the next 16 years. So much of, if I have success, I really, it's because of her being in my life. But she was so much more than a career mentor. She was a whole person mentor, if that makes any sense, because I was a young woman and there's so many things I didn't know that she helped me on the personal side as well as the professional side.
No, and I love that you share those stories when you're 16, because for me, when I was 19, I had a similar story. College sophomore at the University of Buffalo, at the time I was pre-med, at the time there were actual phone books. I wanted to go to med school. I wanted to either volunteer or work at a dermatologist or ophthalmologist. And I literally cold called 19 doctors. And everyone said no. But one person said, you can volunteer. But the other person literally was so impressed that I called, going back to the boldness that you have. And she said, Christopher, I'm giving you a job. And I was so shocked. Again, 19 years old. I'm like, what? You're giving me a part-time job at your doctor's office and you haven't even met me? And she said, yes, Christopher, you asked what you wanted. You were very assertive and I'm going to give you this job. And I'm really sad that I actually don't remember her name. I don't even remember the doctor's office. It's been literally over 20 plus years, but I never forget that feeling that this woman, this person of authority who turned out to be the doctor's wife who managed the office, but just like you, for those listening to this interview, it's those moments that one person that believes in you and says you can do it, but it's based on your boldness. It's based on articulating your desires. And when they see that, and that's why I wanted to point out your boldness, because your whole book, it's all about being bold. It's all about deciding, look, these are the choices you have. But some people that might read your book, like, I don't know if I have that courage. I don't know if I have that confidence like Kim. But that's why I want to kind of just unwrap that and say, well, how did you get that? But it goes back to when you were 16 or when I was 19. And the whole point is finding those people that are mentors. Now, we do have these various categories. And entrepreneurship is near and dear to my heart, and that does require some boldness. So just dive into the entrepreneurship world, where what are some next steps that a high school student can consider if they want to start their own business?
So, you know, one of the, I'm big into research, regardless of who you are and what path you're taking. And so, you know, what is it, let's just say, realistically speaking, you know, what is it that you're interested in? Where do you think that that's where your passion is going to be? Because then I really believe you're not working the rest of your life. You're just having fun and playing and, you know, and being successful. So research would be number one. Number two, we already talked about informational interviews, certainly, but I also really believe, you know, one of the best resources, I believe, at least in Houston, Texas, but I am sure this is across the United States at a minimum, that the Small Business Administration is probably one of the best places to go. So because there's some basic things, you have to have a business plan, let's just say. You really have to be able to say clearly, what is it that you're going into business for and what is it that you produce? Is it a product? Is it a service? And be able to work through that. The Small Business Administration is actually an organization that helps you do that. Number two, the Small Business Administration, and I think this is true also across the United States, is they have a different arm, and they also have a mentorship program who these people have been entrepreneurs. And so to be able to talk to them or to produce a marketing plan or whatever that is, these are free resources in your city, and they are amazing. And a lot of people don't even know that they're out there.
Yeah. No, it's called SCORE because I actually went to one of these mentors you mentioned. They're often retirees that had their own businesses. But again, it's just important to find the people in the trenches that are doing what you want to do. And when you said SBA might be for the US, but you have Chamber of Commerce all around the world.
Yes.
And anyone who's listening, because this is going to go global. And for those listening that are outside the US, just know that, Kim, your advice is it's pertinent to anyone in the world, frankly, as long as you go to the Chamber of Commerce or in Rotary Clubs. But it's all about finding those mentors. So in terms of the other aspects, I know you talked about the couch as well.
Yes, the couch. Gotta have a little fun, Chris.
Yeah. Talk about the couch.
Well, I thought that might actually resonate with parents today because they may be concerning that their son or daughter is going to live there forever and not move out. And the goal, honestly, is to have a fully functioning adult in going and making their own life, right? And paving their own path. On the other hand, it was a little tongue-in-cheek with regards to really, in my mind, it was a gap year. So maybe they really don't know. And so if they don't know, let's capitalize on that year in particular and maybe volunteer for the Peace Corps or some other organization to give back. You find yourself so many times when you are in service to others that you've learned so much, and that can help kind of pave a new path for you. And I don't know what that's going to look like for a young man or a young woman, but I definitely think there's an opportunity in the couch.
So Kim, you talked about how some mentors helped you. Talk to us about some of the students that you've worked with and some of their success stories.
Oh, wow. So, you know, paving your path is really a 30-week program. And, you know, obviously in the beginning, one of the things that's really important with a mentor and a mentee is that connection. Like there has to be, you have to feel it on both sides. Like I need to be able to know that I'm going to give value, and they need to feel like there's some value that's going to be given. And they also need to come to our meetings every week, you know, prepared. So we kind of set those expectations up. But one thing that I think is important in the beginning is really as we get to know one another and to kind of explore what that looks like, you know, a mentor's job, much like a coach, is just really to ask questions. But sometimes you have to step in and give specific statements because they don't have the background to know. Setting goals, like what do we want to accomplish over the next 30 weeks specifically as a result of our time being together? And then one of the things that we need to start working on are those soft skills specifically. So in terms of, you know, one of the places, you know, a chapter on attitude, A is for attitude, is because so many of us don't realize how our attitude comes across. And it can be career ending many times. And that's not what I want. And so really being aware of that, when you get up in the morning, are you excited? Are you not excited? Does your attitude wane throughout the day? A second one is really branding. So, you know, B is for branding. And so I don't even think young people are thinking necessarily about branding. They know it like from products, but they don't know the brand themselves. And so we're walking brands as we do anything. When we go out and we meet people, we have a statement about ourselves. And then the third is definitely in terms of communication. That's another chapter where I think that sometimes, you know, just because I'm thinking it should not necessarily come out of my mouth. I really need to think clearly about what I'm going to say so I can connect with that person. There's some other places where I think today in our school system that because they have so much pressure to deliver certain outcomes, that they don't have time to teach those soft skills anymore, or character education, how is what it used to be called. But those are the critical skills. Those are the things that are going to keep you employed or in business. And they're probably some of the most important skills. And so really, that's really where the mentor can really help leverage their experience, and they can share their stories with that young person so that they're very clear and they have a different perspective. So yeah, specifically about, so one of the persons I'll talk about most specifically that I was coaching, mentoring, and we went through the whole program, and I can't even tell you how different that young man is today. And highly intelligent, but wasn't really clear. Mom was kind of directing the college route, and it was clear listening to him that was not the route he wanted to go. He really had a very clear vision about entrepreneurship. And his mom is an entrepreneur as well, which I think is also very interesting. But the thing is that as a result, so when I talk about mentoring, I'm talking about a whole person. Remember, I said that was my experience. So when he and I started, he had never worked, did not have a job, did not have a resume, did not drive a car, did not have a driver's license. Wasn't really clear what was going to happen next, was overweight. I could go on through a lot of things. As at the end of all of this, he's lost around 60 to 80 pounds at this point. He has his driver's license. He's actually been employed. He has a resume. When we moved into the pandemic, obviously the jobs that young people had, they just weren't there anymore because the business wasn't in it there anymore. And he was really stuck. And so I said, you know, what about the possibility of working? I know you love media, social media. I know you love working online. Is that a possibility? And he said, I don't know. I said, well, let me help. Let me just do a little bit of research. And I found a couple of internships for him. But in the meantime, on his own, I just give him full credit. He did the work. I'm just asking questions. And he found a job that pays incredibly well, and he's working from home doing something he absolutely loves. And in addition to that, he's taking certification programs for the business he wants to be in to become that entrepreneur. So I'm just tickled with him. He's one example. I have another person who really is very clear she wants to go to college, but yet not sure about the major. And so one of the things I build in is sort of a scavenger hunt, if you will. Well, let's go look at five schools that you might be interested in. And then the next assignment was, why don't you go and research? She had it down to a couple of different majors. So I introduced her to people I know in my network, which I think is a job of a mentor, so that she could talk to them about the different majors. And now she's really clear about what her major is going to be, which is great. So now we're going to go back and fine to the colleges that she really has her eye on now that she really does know what she wants to study, and she also knows what her minor is going to be. So right now we're working on, applying for scholarships to be able to get ready for when she goes to college next year. And we're also working this week on admissions requirements too, to make sure that she really knows what's necessary to get into that particular university.
You know, Kim, when you share these stories, these very heartfelt stories, especially about that young man, it's really telling about you, because literally when I ask that question, you literally pause. You can tell that you're like, wow. You literally pause because there's a lot of feeling when you share these stories, but also know that that young man that you inspired, that young woman you're inspiring, those are you when you're younger in a sense, right? And so what you've become, you're not just helping that one person. You're helping all these other people with the trickle-down effect. So it's so inspiring to know that you aren't just sharing this on the interview, you share this on your book and your whole life. So I'm curious about this. Years and years ago, I watched a commencement speech at Pepperdine University in California, in Malibu. And the commencement speaker, his name was Rod Page. He was the former US Secretary of Education. And he said that soldiers might defend our freedom, the educators create our freedom. And it's one of those lines where, as an educator, as I wrote a college success guide, I've done college admissions consulting, I've worked with thousands of thousands all around the world. And when he said that soldiers might defend our freedom, but educators really create that, just seeing your life and hearing your story, how do you think we can all, as leaders, create more of these pathways, as you call them, opportunities, really help our young people in the future?
Well, if anyone is listening to this today, one of the first opportunities that my vision really is to create a virtual mentoring program for any individual. So they could do that with one person, they could do it with a group of people, it could be a PTA, quite frankly, it could be a faculty member at a school who does a virtual online after school program. Would be very easy to do. We could do it via Zoom or something else like that. I love Dr. Page, first of all. He used to be the superintendent here in Houston. I don't know if you know that or not, many years ago. And I really believe as educators, we're only doing one of two things. We're either teaching or we're learning, and that's all there is to life.
You know, Kim, that's the perfect way to end our show, because really, if you're not living, you're not learning, you're not giving, why are we here? So Kim, thank you so much for being on our show today. All the show notes will be there to have all of our listeners and viewers to get in touch with you. But thank you so much for being not a linear mentor, but exponential one, where it's really about these great opportunities we can all give. And thanks to your leadership and your boldness, we can learn from you. So thank you so much for being on our show, Kim.
Thank you, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christophakai.com to learn more.